Welcome to the 22nd Res Ed podcast, produced by Media Snackers with Global Kids. In this podcast, we'll have an interview with Frank Whiting out of Northern California, who's the Dean of the University of There.com. As ever, we'll kick off with the news from the Global Kids guys.
Hey, Res Ed community, this is Rick.
Hey, this is Amira. And we are coming to you from Global Kids in New York City.
And here's some of the top news stories for this week. First off, the Pew Internet and American Life Project has a new study on video games and virtual worlds. This one focused on adults that just came out on the 7th of December. There were some interesting statistics about video game usage. First of all, lots of adults in America seem to be playing games. 53% in their survey said they were playing some kind of game, whether it was on a computer, a gaming console, a cell phone, or some other kind of gaming device. They said that only 2% of adult gamers, though, have ever visited a virtual world, such as Second Life. And they didn't say that there are any particular demographic differences between those adults. This is an interesting figure. It doesn't jive with some other figures that we've talked about in previous Res Ed reports. So I think that there's some examination of where that figure comes from that we might want to talk about on a future podcast or on the forums. They say that 66% of adults have created an avatar, and that slightly more game players, 9%, have ever played a massively multiplayer online game. And they compare that to, of course, much higher rates, 21% of teens gamers who've reported playing some sort of massively multiplayer online game. So more about this later, I think, as we take a deeper look at these statistics.
Great. Next up, we have the Serious Virtual Worlds report. It came out earlier this month, and it was prepared for the GISC e-learning program. It focuses on virtual worlds for educational uses and explores the serious, as opposed to leisure-based, use of virtual worlds. From the report, it reads that in order to help practitioners to identify the worlds that are the most relevant for their particular learning context, the report represents an overview of the available virtual worlds, describing in particular the serious virtual worlds that have been that have educational potential or have been used in education and training settings. However, stepping beyond this traditional mode of teacher and learner, the report also aims to foreground how learners themselves are becoming a more central component in the use of immersive worlds, creating learning experiences for themselves and adopting a more exploratory mode of learning. Of course, this is an essential resource for all of us that are interested in virtual worlds and learning specifically, and it is available for download free on resed.org or at the jisc.ac.uk website under their publications.
And lastly in the news, Res Libris has recently launched their first issue. Res Libris is a magazine just for virtual world librarians who are in Second Life. If you go to rezlibris.com, you can download their first issue. They're going to come out on a quarterly basis, it looks like, and it's just a very nice site. They also have an in-world location on Cybrary City, which is part of the Info Archipelago in Second Life. And we're always happy to see other people using the Res branding. So welcome, Res Libris.
Great. And that's all for this week's news. As always, if you have news that you'd like featured on upcoming podcasts or on the Res Ed website, send them over to resednews@globalkids.org. That's resednews@globalkids.org.
I'm Frank Whiting, and I am an instructor for Shasta College in Northern California. I also am the dean of the University of There for, in their world, the virtual world, and I also work with Forterra Systems as well. But my primary employment is in college education, and there I teach computer science, obviously enough. And I've been doing that for a lot of years. My first computer had 750 vacuum tubes in it.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you with us talking to Res Ed, Frank. Let me ask you where you came from, in a sense, for how did you get involved in virtual worlds and what we're going to be discussing today?
Well, actually, I got started in chat room operations in sort of semi-virtual situations in 1991 with America Online, and ran a math room there for a number of years. Then I gradually fell into a community of of an actually beautiful virtual world that has sort of collapsed, which was Uru, the derivative of the Myst Riven series of worlds, and we actually had an online service. And then I became a refugee from that into there, incorporated, and that was in March of 2004. And then in June in 2004, we established the University of There, which I have been running ever since. So I guess I've been around in virtual worlds since their birth, pretty much.
Wow, there was a lot of history there. So tell us a little bit about there.com. For those who haven't got a clue, haven't come across it yet, what is different about it compared to other virtual worlds, or is it very similar? Just give us kind of an overview for those who don't know about it.
Well, there.com is a virtual world that is significantly different than a number of other virtual worlds in two ways. One of them is there's two classes of virtual worlds out there right now. One of them are academic experiments, and others are either large social or large gaming environments. A large gaming environment, group gaming, would be the massively multiplex online role-playing game World of Warcraft. Another one would be a number of social worlds out there. There are a whole number of social worlds. There is a social world. However, it's unique in it that it's PG-13. It has no adult content to speak of, and interestingly, it proves that both adults and teenagers can find entertainment and enjoyment in a virtual world without engaging in cyber sex or anything of that nature.
And that's one of the differentiators, if you like, of there.com. If you take something like Club Penguin, obviously very targeted at young people, or younger children in a sense, and then Second Life, more adults, you know, there.com reaches out to both. And how does that play out as a community online?
Well, as a community online, there is actually has two interesting things. One of it is it has a very equal balance between male and female, which is different than some of the virtual role-playing games. Another thing is that the content is pretty well managed so that we don't have nudity and so forth. And it's actually, you know, their world is very much like the environment you'd find on a college campus, meaning that that there's free discussion and friendly chat, but we usually behave in a fairly adult, mature manner. And kids like it. There's a lot of things to do, racing and games and of course, the virtual education. But bear in mind that this is a play world. This is not a real world. I'm not paid by them. The University of There is entirely supported by member content and member volunteered activities, although we do have qualified instructors. We teach a lot of subjects that actually fit into real world. For instance, the current courses we're doing include Painter, which is their painter, actually an object creating and editing tool, PaintShop Pro, GMax, which is 3DS Max for gamers that we can actually afford. We do courses on the history of ancient Egypt. We have a Museum of History, Art, and Natural History. We have a School of Flight, which is actually simulated flight in there. We also have things like soccer games and dog handling as well.
So was the history of University of There? How did it come about?
Well, it was cooked up together between myself and their staff, and I like to envision my role in this as a slave of staff. On June 21st, 2004, and the idea was to have a participative teaching and learning venue for Therians, and also a facility available to outside academic instruction and for experimental instruction in virtual worlds. Currently, for instance, we're hosting San Francisco State University Communications Department, and they're doing work on teaching environmental studies in virtual environments, which turns out to work real well.
Because that was my next question is kind of what you've already listed some interesting stuff you're already doing with the university of there. It sounds like some other people are coming on board to play. What is the potential of this then?
Where are we going with it, you mean?
Well, yeah, well, like what can be done in the universityofthere.com?
Well, there are two things that I would very much like to do. One of them, and we're going to experiment with this during the spring semester starting in January, hopefully. One of them is we would like to have more real courses. Like there has a large Philippine component, and I have a volunteer that wants to teach Tagalog. We also would like to do more. It's a perfect venue for teaching foreign languages because you can act out and you have emotes and so on. And so it's just ideal for foreign languages. We want to do more of that. We did do a French course. It worked fairly well. But we'd like to continue in that area. And another thing is I would very much, I have a bunch of people who are like qualified instructors in real life who volunteer. And I would very much like to see us do a general educational development course in there. But I want to get an institutional sponsor for that because we're basically a member-supported facility. And so we would like to remain a support facility for outside academic institutions as well as for our own internal activities. The only real rule is that if you're going to operate in there, although we can set up private worlds for you, private sections, we'd much rather that you make it open to therians to attend the classes as well.
Interesting. So I know you've already touched on, you know, the San Fran guys coming in to help you guys, or doing something there. I think it was San Fran. But could you give us, if you know of any other educational organizations using there.com or other educational models, if you like, of there.com?
Yeah, New York Law School has been running State of Play in there for some time and doing experimental lecturing, as has the Stanford Law School. We've also had we have a class in media that has been run by the Oregon State University, and where they're going to restart again or not, we're not quite sure. They haven't started another semester for January yet, but I have hopes they will. As I said, San Francisco State is active in there, and we hope to invite more facilities and educators to come in and either use the facility, which we can provide for free. It's not like we're going to charge them for real estate here. If it's open to therians, meaning that their people can come and attend the classes also, then we wouldn't charge them for a classroom.
And this segues into a kind of a wrap-up question, if you like, is how do you see the future of education in there.com? And maybe if you'd like to include in your answer as well, a kind of a virtual world in general as well, how would you like to see education using it or playing out in it? What's the potential here?
Well, now you touch on the real reason that I'm involved in this. Because this dovetails with what I teach in the outside world in real, although I question where the boundary is there between real and virtual. But we're approaching the point where education becomes much more immersive. Currently, Shasta College is using a program called ANGEL, which is a linked system of educational support. Some of you may be familiar with it. But it's not a virtual world. And the next step for us, and I think for a lot of major institutions, is going to be virtual classrooms where you can actually see your classmates, talk with them, look at the instructor, and also see real-time media such as film or slides in real-time right there in front of you, all of which is currently within the state of the art. And so we're getting to the point, see, where students really have access to the Library of Congress where they sit. When I sit in my computer lab, I know these guys are Googling the stuff I'm saying, so I'm very careful to not provide any baloney, you know.
And one final question in terms of, you talked about the potential there, and what are the limitations of this stuff? Are there any? Or what are the barriers, which is probably a better question to ask.
Well, currently the technical requirements are fairly steep. I think you have to have broadband connection for sure. You also have to have, if you're going to be into highly interactive modes, you also need a pretty high-end video system. But what's happening is the technology is rolling up so fast that almost everyone who buys a computer and has bought one in the past year or two is quite able to get into there or even one of the more advanced virtual worlds and participate. I think that another barrier may be cultural in terms of expanding this into other than certain like North America, Northern Europe, and so on. And we have to develop the cultural appreciation of interactive computers as a learning tool and immersive education as a learning environment. And so that's all going to come to pass.
Interesting.
And soon. Yeah.
Well, Frank, thanks for giving up your time to speak to Rez. I'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I really appreciate the chance. And any time you care to visit their world, why, please drop in and ask any island guide let you go to university of there, and you can wander around and see. We have a large art collection that was donated by members over the years, and so it's interesting to see what people do in those areas.
Wicked. Thanks very much, Thank.
Have a happy day.
And here's the latest events for your calendars related to virtual world education. First off, we've been talking about this Mardi Gras conference on virtual worlds happening February 19 to 21, 2009, at Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The Center for Computation and Technology at LSU, in cooperation with the Arts Visualization Advanced Technologies and Research Initiative, or AVATAR, is hosting the 16th Mardi Gras conference. These take place annually on a number of themes. This year's theme is Virtual Worlds, New Realms for Culture, Creativity, Commerce, Computation, and Communication. For more information, go to www.mardigrasconference.org.
Great. Next, on November 20th, Research and Learning in Virtual Environments, also known as ReLive 08, will be happening in Milton Keynes in the United Kingdom. The keynote speakers there will be Edward Castronova and Rue Reynolds. It'll be involving researchers and practitioners attending from across the globe, and it's promising to be a very interesting, stimulating, and exciting 2 days. Full details on the event are on resed.org. And that's it for our events this week. If you have any that you'd like to share on upcoming ResEd podcasts or on the site, send them over to resedinfo@globalkids.org. That's one word, R-E-Z-E-D-I-N-F-O, @globalkids.org.
All the links referenced in this podcast, as well as the full transcripts, will be available on the show notes at resed.org.